of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Now, if the Lord let me tonight, we're going to go into chapter 4 just a little bit and find out who heard. The enemies heard. Amen. Folks, the devil hears. His people hears when God's doing something. And they don't like it, but we'll go as God leads there. Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. So thankful for allowing us to be in your house. Thank you, Lord, for the good songs of Zion. Thank you, Father, for how they've encouraged us tonight. Thank you for an opportunity, Lord, to give as you have prospered us. And thank you, Father, for each one that's here. Lord, every man, woman, boy, and child. Lord, we have some that are out sick today, some that are traveling. And I pray a hedge of protection around them even now and healing for bodies. Lord, I'm thankful for us that are here. Thank you for the privilege and the health and the strength to be here today. And Lord, we ask you now for the message. Lord, please have mercy on us. Lord, I know what I deserve, so I'm asking for mercy. Fill us with thy spirit and thy power. Touch your people in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Again, we're preaching tonight on a foundation to shout about. And of course, we saw that Israel is being led back after 70 years of captivity. And of course, I'm glad that everybody left in the first Exodus, but only a remnant's coming back now to God to work with. I'm thankful that God don't have to have a crowd to work with. Folks, we live in a time now where they say, well, the crowd's dwindled down, so God's not there. That's not a scriptural thought. If it is, then Gideon was out of the will of God. God just kept dwindling them down, didn't he? And he went and fought with 300, wasn't he 300? So a lot of people think that big numbers and big bank accounts means God or equals God. Not necessarily at all. Amen. Not necessarily at all. And so therefore, we get our eyes on numbers. But we have a remnant coming back. And this remnant, they really want to do right. They're tired of their bondage. They're tired of being out of the will of God. They're tired of walking astray. So now they're making their way back. And now that they're back, God gives them orders to rebuild the temple, which we know was Nero tears this one up, tears this one down later on because of rebellion. You understand? And folks, again, Israel, they thank God for the nation of Israel. And we thank God for the promises that God's given it. They're the apple of his eye with the bride of Christ. But however, he deals with them. And right now, they're living in a dot about as big as Rhode Island. When all that land in Palestine, all that's theirs. You study covenants in the Bible, you'll come across one called the Palestinian Covenant dealing with land. And that's what's going on. They're not getting to enjoy their land because of their sin. And folks, sometimes we don't get to enjoy all that God wants for us because of sin. Amen. A lot of times it's sin that's causing us not to be able to worship, not to be able to work. Our heart's not willing. The desire's gone. Why? It's not everybody's fault but our own most of the time. So we noticed some things this morning: their force, their focus, their fear, their faithfulness, and their foundation. But I want to give you three things tonight. I'm not going to be long. I want to give you three things tonight and in this text that I hope that will be a help and a blessing to us. Now, I want you to notice, first of all, in verse 11, 12, and 13, I want you to notice the reaction to their foundation. Now, they've got orders to rebuild the temple and to have the foundation finished. A lot of people say they're shouting over the foundation. That's more than they saw. That's more progress than they saw in 70 years. Folks, you understand, we've quit shouting over the first steps of things. We've quit shouting and appreciating God over the little things. We take them for granted. Folks, they're shouting over a foundation. They still had a whole building to build. A lot of work to be done. But they'll rejoice. Hey, the foundations were sure. They knew if their foundation was right, that whole building was going to be right. So they're rejoicing. The reaction to the foundation. Number one, they were singing involved. And they sang together by chorus in praising and giving thanks unto the Lord. So now they are singing. Folks, you understand, singing is a picture of joy. Singing is a type of worship. And now they are singing. And folks, can you imagine? They're making a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. Folks, preacher, what does that mean to me? What kind of application can you make there? Well, number one, our foundation is sure. Amen. Christ is our foundation. Now you're listening to me. Why aren't we singing like that? Why don't we have joy? Our foundation is right. Amen. The death, the burial, the resurrection. The first fruits of them that slept was Christ that got up. You and I are going up one day. Amen. No matter what happens, no matter what goes on, our foundation is. Folks, I'm glad that I've been founded not on a rock, but on the rock. Amen. 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 You remember that Philippian jailer? When Paul and Silas was praising the Lord, singing and praising God, in the book of Acts 16. You remember when God showed up and the foundations were shaken and the fetters and chains fell off and the prison doors were open and that Philippian jailer heard the commotion and came in. What did the Bible say he did first? He called for a light. He didn't realize he wasn't getting a light. He's fixing to get the light. He got saved that night. And his whole house, get this. He went to bed that night. He wasn't looking for Jesus. He had no use for Jesus. How you know? Look how he was treating his young'uns. Don't tell me you love Jesus and you treat his young'uns like dirt. Amen. You and I, as parents, us that are parents here, you've got my loyalty when you love my children. You don't love my children, I somehow know that it ends up I don't like you. And I believe you'd say the same thing, wouldn't you? If I was ugly to your children, wouldn't speak to your children, hey, you wouldn't like me. Come on. So now we find here, hey, they are singing. And when that jailer called for a light, he got the light. And God saved him and his whole house. Singing stirs up the foundation. Hey, you know the saying around here, we want God to move. That's a picture there. There's a picture there of God moving. Hey, Acts 16 is not a picture of the foundations being weak. It's a picture of them moving. God's moving in the place. Why? Because they, by faith, trusted their foundation in Him. And even though they were going through a time, a dark time, in prison, beat with an inch of their life, they still did what? They sang. Not only that, verse number 11, they shouted. And they sang together by chorus and passing and giving of thanks and praising and giving of thanks. They're praise. That's shouting in the way you want to look at it. Folks, wait, why? Because all over a foundation. You getting a hold of that? They have got stirred up singing and shouting over the foundation of the temple being complete. The foundation stirred them up. Hey, folks, if all we have is the foundation, that's enough to shout about. Amen. That's enough to sing about. Amen. Hey, we got Jesus. Amen. Everything else is just icing on the cake. So we see the reaction. They were singing. They were shouting. Verse number 12, they were sobbing. But many of the priests and Levites and the chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes wept with a loud voice. Many of them shout aloud. Many of them was weeping. Hey, some are sobbing over the foundation. You say, preacher, what do you mean? Sometimes we get to thinking about what that foundation represents. It brings tears to our eyes. What does it represent? That a perfect person took on the sins of imperfect people and took our punishment, our pain, our peril, our judgment. He took it for us. So when you're thinking about this, about Christ, the foundation, we may shout a while, we may sing a while, we may cry a while. You know, folks worship like that differently. Around here, I've seen people wave their hands, say hallelujah, smiling from ear to ear. And I see some back there with tears. And sometimes the tears flow hard enough, they start flowing out of their nose. Yeah. The reaction, folks, what is our reaction to the foundation? We've gotten so used to the foundation that we don't react to the foundation. No, you're just going to be there. You're just going to be there. You're my spare tire when I need you. I know you're there, but I'm just going to put you away. Not going to think about you. Not going to consider that I'm here because of you. I have life because of you. You're everything to me. But when I hit a bump in the road and the tire goes flat in life, where's my foundation? But I want to take it one more step. Look at verse 13. Not only do we see, get this now, not only do we see the positive reaction of the foundation of the people of God, but we see a negative reaction from the enemies of God about this. Look at verse 13, and I'm going to chapter 4. So that the people could not discern the noise of the joy, the shout of the joy from the noise of the weeping of the people, for the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. Now, look at chapter 4. Now when the adversaries, get it now, when the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the children of the captivity builded the temple unto the Lord of God of Israel, then they came to Zerubbabel and to the chief of the fathers and said unto them, let us build with you, for we seek your God as ye do, and we do sacrifice unto him since the days of Esarhaddon, king of Asher, which brought us up hither. Listen to this response. People couldn't take this response today. But Zerubbabel and Jeshua and the rest of the chiefs of the fathers of Israel said unto them, ye have nothing to do with us to build an house unto our God, but we ourselves together, we build unto the Lord God of Israel as King Cyrus, the king of Persia, hath commanded us. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah and troubled them in building. Look at verse 5. And hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. What's happening now? We had singing, shouting, sobbing, and now we got spies and strifers, if that's a word. I make them up. You have some that now, they done made themselves enemies of these people. And so now they see God moving and they're trying to ease back in under false pretense. And there's some men of God that knew the difference and said, no. God's doing too much right here to let you all back in. Are you listening to me? This past Monday night, me and my wife got to go down to Gantt Street Baptist Church, Brother Gene Rowell's church that preached for us. Every year they have a pastor's wife appreciation service. They serve a meal and then you have a service. Brother Kenny Baldwin preached that night, Monday night. Man, if you've never heard him preach, but he brought out a message out of the 23rd Psalm that I never heard before in that capacity. And he was going verse by verse, and he's giving some great nuggets, some good things. But what he said in part of that message in Psalm 23 actually kind of goes with this text. It can kind of be an example or an illustration. You know the verse in Psalm 23? Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Get a hold of that. Now he's preaching to preachers, to pastors and their wives. He made a statement. He said, you know them folks that they'll lurk on live streaming. Thank God for live streaming. Some of you watch and you get help. I ain't talking about y'all. And I know this to be true. And they'll lurk around on live streaming. And knowing this, I've known this for a long, 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 long time. And sometimes you wanna really bark at them. But you know what, Brother Baldwin said, hey, don't bark at them, just sit there and eat in front of them. Do what? Yeah, he said, give them some popcorn, let them watch you eat. He said, what they're doing is they're trying to look around and find fault or something negative, something that eases their conscience, and because they're not a part of it, and they want it to crumble down. That's what this crowd in the text is wanting to do. Preacher, what are you doing? Folks, I'm telling you, these folks watches this thing, and when they see someone not here, they'll hope they're gone, and they'll call them. Where are y'all? Hey, what's going on? It's a fact. They're not concerned about what's going on in their life. They're just hoping they're mad too and ain't coming. You don't have to say amen. I know I'm right. But we don't have to get upset about it. You know what we can do? Hey, sit there and let them watch us eat. Let them watch us eat. Hey, that's why we come in. And hey, God's still here. Shouting's still here. Singing's still here. People still getting saved. Amen. The very thing, I thought about that when I was reading these texts. It hit my mind, what Brother Baldwin said about that. And it fits here. We have people that they're just watching and waiting, and they're trying to figure out a way to ruin and upset the people from away from what God has done. Folks, you realize that some folks' whole thought of life is to try to disrupt what God's doing. Trying to disrupt what God's doing. And so that's happening. Again, in verse 5, and hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose all the days of King. Hey, they didn't do it for a week. They done it the whole time that king was living. Doing their best. Working here, hitting a person here, hitting a person there. Not everybody that asks you how you doing really cares how you doing. Let that sink in. Folks, I figured this out a long time ago. Some folks just keep you on their friends to get information. They know you'll spill it. They know they can count on you to give a negative word about something, and that feeds them. Preach, I don't believe that. Well, I tell you what, next time they ask you something, give them a positive response. Tell them everything's wonderful. God's good. Do that two or three times. They won't be calling you no more. Amen. They don't want to hear positive. They don't care. They don't want to hear you say, oh, we had a good service. Somebody got saved. That ain't what they want to hear. We had 10 joined. They don't want to hear that either. They don't hear you say, oh, we got trouble. People leave it. People can't stand it. It's awful. And it eases their conscience. Don't give them that pleasure. Amen. So we see the reaction of the foundation. But then secondly, we see the representation of the foundation. That foundation represented some things. We know we represented the Savior, but it also represents, it's a sentimental thing. Verse number 12, we see that many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, they wept because they remembered how it used to be. And they see a light of hope of it coming around again. It was sentimental to them. Folks, there are some things and some places that's sentimental to me. It's very sentimental to me. Folks, I can go down to the church I was saved out of and called to preach out of, and honestly, I don't remember any negative thing. I know there were negative things there, but that's not where my heart's at. God was good to me at that place. God let me hear the gospel at that place. God convicted my heart of sin at that place. God saved me at that place. God called me to preach. I preached my first sermon at that place. Are you listening to me? I have friends that I made at 2 years old that still my friends through that place. Are you listening to me? It's sentimental. These men understood that. And one of these days, these babies, and some of you that's grown up here, God may move you on one of these days. And folks, they're not a perfect church in the world. There's negative, there's politics, but you know what? This place will be sentimental to you. I run into adults. They're younger than me, of course, but they're adults. I run into them at stores and restaurants that came here. As a matter of fact, I went in Burger King in Edmond 3 weeks ago. I don't think I've been back since. And there was a lady, young lady, grown, in the back working. And she came up and she said, "Hey, Preacher Tommy." I said, "Hey, how I know you?" She said, "I used to go to your church when I was little with some neighbors or something." And the memory she had was sentimental memories. And of course, I went into a different gear, like, "Hey," I said, "you're grown now. You drove to work. You can drive back down to Landrum." Amen. But it was sentimental. Then we also see it represents strength. Something long term. This will say this foundation was something that's going to be there and be there a long time. Well, I'm glad what the Lord gave me is strong and it's going to be here for eternity. Strength. Then we see none of that, but there's a statement in it. What do you mean? That foundation may not have been pretty, but it represented something pretty awesome. That's what we're building on. Off of this is where we're going to grow from. Off of this is where we're going to build from. Off of this is where we're going to go from. Folks, that's Christ. If you try to build off anything else, it's going to fall. The storm's going to come. The wind's going to blow. And it's going to fall away. It represented a sentimental thing. It represented strength. It represented a statement. Of course, it represented the Savior. Isaiah 28 verse 16, the Bible says this: "Therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation a stone, a tried stone, precious corner, a sure foundation." That's Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:4, "For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Hallelujah. So we see the reaction of the foundation, the representation of the foundation, but then we see the requirement of the foundation. The Bible says in Psalm 11:3, "If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do?" You know what you got to do? Keep the foundation, the foundation. Don't let anybody come in and disrupt the foundation. Guard the foundation. We have a sure foundation. Don't let the devil come in and destroy the foundation. Guard that foundation. The Bible also says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. How do we keep the foundation right? Depart from iniquity. Lord, help us. Lord, help us. Here we have a work of God. We have God's mercy. We have God's means. We have a godly meeting. And we have a sure building, a foundation. Folks, it stands to reason that the enemy is going to try to disrupt that. It stands to reason that the enemy is going to try to disrupt that. Don't let him. How do we not let him depart from iniquity? Keep our heart right. Keep our face toward him. Stay faithful. Folks, in these last days, I've never seen an hour where faithfulness means nothing. It means something, but some don't think so. I've never seen an hour where the Lord is getting leftovers. He's getting your leftover time, your leftover talent. Are you listening? Your leftover trinkets or offering. Whatever you can spare. Right? Just the bare minimum. That's what God's getting. And the whole time, we have a perfect school attendance, a perfect work attendance. Hello? We go in the grocery store, wherever we get groceries, at the same time every week, get the same stuff. Consistent in everything but him. And I've seen this decline over the last 5 years. Folks you never think would ever put God second or not at all, or whenever I got time for him, I'll serve him, I'll show up. I've never seen an hour. And people don't think the church needs revival. People don't think we as individuals need revival. We've drifted and don't realize it. Instead of reasons now, they're excuses. We can't protect foundations that way. Hey, I'm protecting this. I want to protect the foundation, the right foundation of this thing, not only for myself, but for those coming behind me. If we slack up and we get unfaithful and we get uncaring, when we just let go of the things of God and they come whenever, what's our grandchildren going to do? Because I promise you, two or three can't do it. People bailing out, people getting out of the will of God, people quitting on God, and they'll give you every reason, but it's not their fault. Can I say something to you tonight? If I get out of church tonight, it will be my fault. It will be my fault. It won't be your fault. It won't be somebody's fault. It won't be a system's fault. It won't be a job's fault. It'll be my fault. And until we own up to what's our fault and quit blaming others for what's our fault, nothing's going to change. Our foundations are in trouble. And then what are our grandbabies going to do? Where are they going to go to church? Huh? I don't want my grandchildren going to a church that don't believe the King James Bible is the Word of God. But if we don't guard the foundation, that's exactly what's going to happen. They ain't going to have a choice. There's not going to be anywhere left. Come on. Folks, I'll say this. God has never led somebody out of a Bible-believing church to go to a church that don't even believe the Bible. Don't say God led me there. He did not lead you there. He might have led you away from here, but he didn't lead you there. He may have a work for you to do at another Bible-believing church. But he'll never lead you away from what's right. He'll never do it. Quit blaming God for that stuff. Quit saying God led me there. No, he did not. He didn't lead you there. He didn't lead you there. Just like he didn't lead Peter to follow far off. Peter did that. He didn't lead Peter to deny him. Peter did that. He did it. Until we own up, hey, you know what? This is my fault. I have allowed things, people, situations. I've allowed that to get my eyes off God and walk away from the right foundation. I did that. I did it. Lord, help us. Help me. I'm going to stop right there. Let's all stand.